morning. God bless you in the name of Jesus. It is an honor and a privilege to be before you. Excuse me. It is an honor and a privilege to be before you this morning. We give God praise and we magnify him. I want to, I'm going to be speaking really quickly from 1 Corinthians 15 and 52 and Luke 16, 25 through 27. Amen. But, amen. Also, Pastor Nicole, I don't think we did the, as I was going over the requests that were from Linda F., I think we need to.
No, we did not get to those.
Yeah, so can we? The team's been praying for them. Amen. So for Linda F. and for Debbie C., Pamela, Amari, and for OCR, for Yokis, and Shana, Rosa, Vicky, Michael, Cindy, Angie, Angel, the Angel,
yes.
Angel, Misty, and Julie. The prayer team has been praying all weekend. I want to address some of those. Before we go into prayer, I want to make sure that we pray for Shana and her children. And Obadiah, amen, ever since they came back, left California and went back home, they've been having some health issues with cold and all that stuff, so we need to definitely make sure that we keep them lifted up in prayer. We want to pray for them also, amen. So I want to give you something that the Lord shared with me earlier this week, and it was interesting. It was interesting. Do we have any prayers this morning? Okay. This is not talking to the church, what I'm about to say. Although some people in the church are somewhat guilty of this, but as a rule, he's not talking about the church. He's talking about the world. Okay? I was looking at something on TV one day, and people were just, well, anyway, it was the world. And he said, people are so worried about preserving their temporary life, they ignore or forget about their eternal life. You know, they got all these commercials about, you know, how to keep your face youthful and how to do this, and then they're going to get this done and that done. And they're so concerned. You cannot, the only way you're going to stop getting old is to die. That's the only way you stop aging. Am I right? That's it. So I don't care how many things you have cut off, smooth back. I didn't go anywhere.
Stretched out,
you know, soldered back together. Whatever you do, whatever, there's nothing you can do to reverse aging unless you die. That's it. And he said there, he didn't say that part, I said that part. The part he said, his part was, they're so worried about preserving a temporary life until they forget or they ignore that there is a much greater existence after they leave here, which is what they should be preserving. The Bible says we're supposed to, I'm paraphrasing, we're stacking up rewards or gifts in heaven. We're building our eternal kingdom. God has built an eternal kingdom, and we're storing up rewards for that. There's nothing you can do here that's going to be worth your eternity. Make sense? All right. Amen.
Amen, Bestie.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Oh, we do not. Okay, good. I mean, you know. Okay, so then the other part, this is the other thing. In a moment in time, it went from prophecy to history. And so, you guys know what music notes look like, right? Okay. One music note that's part of a symphony is just one note, one space that occupies a moment of time that brings about one action, one sound, or whatever. Y'all follow me so far?
Yes.
So look at that one note in that one spot at that one time over the entire symphony that's being played. Okay? Once that note has been played, it goes on to the next thing. You follow me? Or like a grain of sand on all the beaches combined together. You're just one grain of sand. Y'all follow? The Bible tells us that our lives are like a mist. You know, when you spray the mist, and even though you smell it for a moment, in a little while it's gone. And then, even after that, you don't even remember. Right?
Yes.
People are so determined to preserve something that was never meant to last forever. Your purpose here is to prepare for when you leave here. Because the only way you can get into the kingdom of God is you have to pass through this life first. Even though the children that were lost at childbirth or stolen away, they still had to enter into this atmosphere or this realm so that they would be eligible to enter into the kingdom. That's just the rule. So we're so committed to making sure that we have everything in this life that we need until we miss out on all the things in the real life or the real existence to come. Hey, y'all follow me?
Yeah.
All right, that's not it. The Bible says that now let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. I don't know why the Lord has me started doing this, but he does, and that's the way it is, and that's that.
The one you did last week is still working. I've been doing it every day.
Is that right?
I want to go off,
you take that Bible and stab yourself in the mouth.
Yeah.
I bet. That's some good work. That's some good stuff. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 15:52 in the New International Version. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will rise imperishable, and we will be changed. Here's another translation. In the moment, in the blink of an eye. Twinkling of an eye. Okay, so I wrote it down. In the blink of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye, faster than an eye blink, suddenly quicker than a blink. That's what it's gonna, that's how it's gonna happen. One moment, you're gonna be the way you are. And in a moment, quicker than you can blink, you'll be in eternity. No time to, you know, you think, oh, when I know the Lord's coming, I'll just pray, I'll just repent. It's gonna happen faster than you can blink. Your mind, your brain won't be able to process what happened until well after it has already happened. That's how quick it's gonna happen. And then you're gonna be in eternity. And then what are you going to do? I'm not done. Luke 16:25. If you can join me there, I would appreciate it. If you can't, I get it. Luke 16:25-27. I know a lot of people think that they think that this is it. When you die, you die. I've heard that for years. When you die, there's no existence. You're gone. That's it. Don't worry about it. You know, you live your best life now. Do what you're going to do here, and that's it. But according to the 16th chapter of Luke, in the 25th verse, the rich man was very much aware of where he was. He was very much aware that there was, well, let's read it. But Abraham replied, because the rich man that also died and went into eternity, but he went into hell. But Abraham replied, because the rich man was asking for Abraham, Father Abraham, to send Lazarus to dip some his finger in some water and put it on his tongue. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. So there are definitely two places. There's a place of peace and comfort, and there's a place of agony. The rich man who was in hell was thirsty and hot, and he wanted someone from the other side to come to his side and cool him off because he was in torment. You follow what I'm saying? There was a place of light and rest, and there was a place of eternal torment. Two places. Of course, Sheol is closed now because the door was open and Christ escorted them into heaven. But hell is still there. So there are still two places. All right, let's go to verse number 26. I'm trying to make this quick so we can pray. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from us to the from there to us. And there is no way, once you get where you're going, you're not going anywhere else. So people, once they land, I know you've heard people testifying, you know, I have my hell experience and blah, 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 and all this stuff, and that's great because they got out. Who said you're going to get out? Hell does not have any exits. Once your judgment has been set, it's done. There's no, when you breathe your last breath, there is no opportunity to change. The state that you leave here in is the state that you will be judged in. In other words, if you were not a worshiper of God when you took your last breath, you do not have the option to become a worshiper once you reach eternity. Does that make sense? And so, instead of being so concerned about what happens while I'm here, you need to be concerned about what am I preparing for when I leave here. Because no matter what you're dealing with, I guarantee you, it's not going to compare to what's on the other side. And so, again, he said people are so worried about preserving their temporary life. It's like a temporary passcode. You can't go back and reuse it over and over. It was only good for one. Right?
Amen.
Your life is only good for one shot. When that's done, that's done. It's a temporary code. You cannot use it anymore, anywhere else. So it makes sense that you prepare while you're here. But my husband and my wife and my kids, they don't love the Lord, and I don't want to make them mad. If they don't love the Lord, that's on them. I don't have to pay for you. I have to pay for me. When I meet God, he's not going to ask me about Zoe. He's not going to ask me about Leslie. He's not going to ask me about Asia. He's going to ask me about me. Lord, I couldn't because Asia, she just wore lipstick, and I don't like that color. He's like, first of all, that's really stupid. Second of all, why are you wasting my time? And that's going to be it. Y'all follow what I'm saying?
Amen.
No matter how big it looks while you're here, if you look at it from an eternal standpoint, it's not that big. Right?
Amen.
Remember when you were, well, some of y'all know, but most of y'all probably won't, but remember when you were teenagers and you missed that, somebody said something and made you mad, you were mad all day, and not, well, yeah, I know, I didn't think so. Or somebody did something when you were 12, right? Is it relevant now?
Yeah.
Do you remember it now? It happened, even if it was something bad, most times you don't remember that somebody else bring it up.
Right.
Because it's no longer relevant. That's how this life will be. When you leave here, this life will no, what you did in this life will no longer be relevant. What you didn't do will no longer be relevant. Only what you do for Christ will last. That's what the scriptures say. Now, if you're doing something and it does not edify the kingdom of God, it does not bring people closer to Christ, then from God's perspective, you don't get points for that.
Amen.
That made that you got the only person that enjoyed that was you. No one was saved. No one thought about Christ. The kingdom was not elevated. The only person that was happy about that little son was you. So it doesn't mean anything when you get here. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Pay attention to how you live. Pay attention to how you treat other people. Because only what you do for Christ will
last. Amen. Amen. Yes.
All right, I'm done. All right, let's go. Oh, I looked up the word chasm. And it says a major division or separation. Remember, there's a great chasm set between paradise, or the place of peace, and Hades, hell where the rich man was. There's a great division. There's a great separation between those two places where one couldn't be. But it's interesting because they could see each other. The people that were in Abraham's bosom or in paradise, they could see the people that were in hell. The rich man saw Lazarus in Abraham's company. He had full faculty. He knew exactly where he was. He remembered his life because he remembered he had five brothers. Your mind doesn't die when you leave this earth. You know where you are. You know why you're there. You know who God is. The rich man knew exactly where he was. And he knew the life that he left. He knew. He's in hell and he still remembers. So that means they're going to have an eternity to remember all the opportunities they ignored God with. They have a whole eternity to remember all the people that tried to minister to them and they turned them away. They have a whole eternity to remember how many times they could have repented and they didn't. They have a whole eternity to remember that. Who was it? There's no light, there's no breath, there's no food, there's no water, there's no peace, there's no, everything that represents God, it is the opposite in hell. Everything. Anybody get this?
Yes, amen.
That makes sense, right? The Lord is trying to help you to understand, no matter what's going on in your life, don't allow it to overshadow what you're working for.
Amen.
Don't allow this life to overshadow your focus. Your focus should be Christ.
Yes.
Don't allow the world. I know bad things happen to good people. I know that. I know the enemy is busy, but so is God. Don't let what you're dealing with here, whether it's sickness, whether it's finances, whether it's whatever it is, don't let this take your focus off your main purpose for being here. Your main purpose for being here is to be there.
Amen.
That's your whole life should be based on what else can I do to get there? What else can I do to please God? What else can I do to make to add to what God is doing? What else? That's your whole life. It should be, what else can I do? Your life shouldn't be bothered, shouldn't be overshadowed by finance. If finance is your goal, you're in trouble. If money is your God, you're in trouble. If your physical body, your health, your beauty, I gotta do whatever it takes to stay youthful. See people and they had surgeries and their eyes all the way up here. you don't know where it starts. They cut like, look like a piece of cheese. They just all over the place. Just whacked off, sewed up. You just don't know. Trying to preserve something that was never meant to last.
Amen.
Instead of trying to get all youthful again, get right with God.
Amen.
That's going to last. Okay, now. What?
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, they look like Indians. Just eyes and no dispersion to Indians. I'm sorry about that. You know, but they can't even close their eyes anymore. You know?
Yes.
Amen. Surgeon living fat. You live on a box. All right, go ahead.
Amen. So we have one prayer with 3 points.
Okay.
This is from
Sartorius. Wait, one prayer today?
Yes.
What?
This is from Sartorius.
Okay.
The first one is an update on himself. Remember, he fell
yes.
and hurt his arm. So he wanted to thank everyone for did go to the emergency room, and he has what's called an acute or fracture, which is a hidden fracture, so small that it could not be seen on the x-ray. He said he's doing okay, but he's really thankful for all the prayers.
Amen.
He has two prayer requests. His first prayer request is for a man that he saw when he was in the hospital. The man was on life support, and because he saw the man was on life support because the nurse left the door open, he can see that the man wanted to live, and while seeing him, he had to be resuscitated. He had flat lying, and they used a defibrillator. As far as he knows, he's still alive, but he's praying for that man's soul. That's what he's standing with him and praying for that man's soul.
Amen. Good morning, soldiers. Good morning. How's everybody? And then we have time to go. That's just what I have one prayer. We have time to go back to the ones that we didn't cover last week. Amen. All right.
Yes, that was his first purpose. The second.
Okay, so let's pray for the man that was on the life support that he, because we're not necessarily praying that God would heal him and take him off life support in as much as we're praying. Good morning, Minister Ryan. Good morning, Rose. Oh, Beth. Amen. We're praying more so that the Lord will save his soul. Amen. And we don't know his name. Amen.
It was just someone he saw.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you and we thank you for this opportunity to pray for someone we don't know, for someone else we've never seen, but someone, one of your ministers, one of your soldiers, saw this person on life support, wanting to live. And Father, we're praying for his eternal that he recognizes who you are and that you would forgive him of any sin or unrighteousness, that you would cleanse his heart and his mind. And Lord, even if you choose not to resuscitate his physical body, that his spiritual body, his spirit man, will live in life, will live with you. We pray, Lord, that if there is anything in that atmosphere that does not please you, that you would touch him. We pray over that person's family. We pray salvation over that atmosphere. We pray, Lord, for healing and deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
His second prayer request is for his friend and brother in Christ. His name is Chad L. He's a professional wrestler who recently received a lot of hate because he is standing up and speaking out against abortion. With the amount of negativity that he's getting, we know that it can be tough for him to continue to share the gospel, so we're praying for him to be strengthened.
Yes, what's his name again?
His name is Chad.
Chad. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to be in the house of prayer. We give you praise and we magnify you because you are worthy of all praises. You are worthy to be lifted up. Father, we pray for Shauna and the children. We pray healing and deliverance over that household. We pray, Lord, that you would remove anything in the atmosphere that is not like you, that you would remove it in the name of Jesus. Father, that you would send healing and deliverance to those children and to your warriors, to Yokas, to Shauna, and to their children. We pray favor, grace, and mercy. We pray healing and deliverance. We pray, Lord, that if there is any sin, anything that is not like you, you will remove it. That they will have your favors, that they will get healing, that their prosperity in you will not be interrupted, that your grace will flow, that the healing will continue. We pray a miraculous healing over those children, over those soldiers, over those warriors, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Chad. Father, he's taking a stand against the death of your children. And even though I don't know if he knows who you are, he's a child of God. So Father, him being, he's a child of God. Father, we stand with Chad as a believer of the Most High. We stand with him in the name of Jesus. Father, he's fighting for the lives of your children. And we're praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would protect him and cover him with your presence, with your power, with your authority, that you would move on his behalf, that you would open doors, and that you would make ways, and that you would push back the hands of the enemy, that you would give him grace, favor, and mercy, and his family, that he will press forward and continue the ministry that you have placed in his heart. He's praying for your children. He's praying for those who don't seem to have a voice in this realm. We're fighting for your children. And we're praying for the warriors that are fighting on the front line. Touch, heal, deliver, and protect. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So I'm going to go. So I'm going to go with you. Amen. Amen. So we have, listen, as believers, I know it's not easy. Sometimes this fight gets really tough. Sometimes this fight gets really tough. And you get tired. I'm not tired of being a warrior. My physical man gets tired during the battle. Amen? Y'all follow me? I'm not tired of the fight. My physical man gets tired during the battle. Right? So a lot of people, a lot of believers, good morning, Brent. A lot of believers are struggling to stay focused. They're struggling to stay encouraged. You know, sometimes you just got to encourage yourself. You can't wait on other people to encourage you and then pat you on the back. Sometimes you just got to pat yourself on the back and say, I got to keep it going. I got to keep it pushing. Right? Sensation, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you can't wait for the preacher to pat you on the back. You can't wait for one of your brothers and sisters to recognize what you're going through and what you did. Sometimes you just got to say, you know what? Put on your big boy pants and do what you got to do. Or your big girl undies.
Yes.
Thank you,
yes.
Pants. And yes. Thank you. She's been here a while. She know. Amen. Yes. She know. Amen. Put on your big girl's thingies and do what you got to do. What? I said pants.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo. Amen. And do what you got to do. Because the enemy is not going to encourage you. You can't always depend on other people because they may be going through their own stuff.
Yes.
Everybody's dealing with something. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a testimony. And believe it or not, I know you think you are God's gift to every person on the planet. And I know you think everything you go through is more important than anything anybody else goes through. And what you deal with is first and foremost. I know you believe that. But let me tell you, you are a legend in your own mind. That's not the way it is. That's just the way you see it. And if other people aren't patting you on the back, so what? Who are you doing it for? Are you doing it for the pat on the back, or are you doing it to enhance the kingdom of God? What's your purpose? And whether other people, give you all the accolades or not, it's no big deal. You get them when you get them. No matter what, you have to keep pushing. You have to move forward. And I know there are a lot of people that are dealing with stuff and they're tired, and whether it's physical or finances, their job, their kids, you know, or in-laws, spouses, whatever it is, you're dealing with stuff, but remember this. Whatever you're dealing with, you can't take it with you. Amen. If you're dealing with physical ailments and physical issues, when you leave here, it stays here.
Amen. Hallelujah.
If you deal with financial problems, guess what? When you leave here, it stays here.
Amen.
When you're dealing with them in-laws, well, I don't know if all of them stay in here, but I don't have to deal with the issues when we get to heaven. Amen. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Whatever you're fighting against now, you won't have to fight when you get to heaven. Amen. That's all I'm saying. And you need to encourage yourself. Whatever you're dealing with, it's not going to last forever. Amen. Nothing lasts forever. Nothing. Nobody. Only Christ and the Word of God will last forever. The issues that you're dealing with, they'll soon be gone. And you need to remember that. It's just something to distract you or to pull you down so that you will not remember your focal point and you will miss out. Because remember, the enemy, he's not always trying to physically kill you. Sometimes if he can kill your influence, if he can kill your faith, he can flip it around and you can work for him. If he can kill your influence with other people, even if he can't kill your physical man, he can stop you from being effective to other people. He can kill your testimony. That's all we're saying. A lot of times the enemy is not trying to kill you. He wants to kill what you stand for. And if he can get you to retract your commitment to God, he got you. And then he can use you to help bring somebody else down. Because the people that were looking to you for salvation, they can't look at you anymore. The people that were looking at you for strength, they can't look at you anymore. The people that were depending on you to be strong in Christ so they'll have somebody to follow and your light shining bright, they can't depend on you anymore. Amen. And that is more important to the enemy than your physical death. Because if you die, you may die a hero. He can't do that.
Nope.
But if he can cause your testimony to be defiled and other people see it, now he's got something he can work with.
Amen. Does that make sense to everybody?
Amen.
And so you need to make sure, whatever you're dealing with, hold fast to God. Because it will not last. The Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes from the Lord.
Joy is coming.
Joy is coming. But you need to be in a position where you can receive it. If you're not in a position to receive it, it doesn't matter if it's coming. People so excited about the rapture, and they're cheating on their wife.
Ooh.
I'm excited about the rapture. I'm excited about the rapture. Right? I'm excited about the rapture. I'm excited about, and you're not even knowing. You're excited about something that has nothing to do with you.
You should be afraid of the rapture.
Hello? Because a lot of people won't be left, will not be left behind. You can only be left if you were first invited. If you were never invited, you were never left. You weren't invited in the first place. So it didn't matter. You were never going. And a lot of people are excited about an event that they were never invited to. Why? Because you never accepted Christ. Your life, your fruit does not represent Christ. Your actions. I've seen people that they claim that they're Christians. And I'm like, really? Wow. What church do you go to? I would really like to know. I'd be interested in who your pastor is. Because if they can act and talk like this and still claim salvation and they feel good about it, something went really wrong somewhere. Y'all follow what I'm saying?
Amen.
And they're excited about the rapture and they're not even invited. Y'all follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Don't let the enemy steal your testimony. Don't let the enemy steal your influence. And by all means, don't give it to him.
Amen.
Because a lot of times you don't have to steal it. You just hand it to him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
A lot of people. All right.
Amen. Good work, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. I appreciate it. Amen. So I want to talk about, so those are people that are dealing with they're distraught. They don't know if they're going to make it another day. And I get it. Because depending on what you're going through, it could be crazy. You know, that's a great scene, huh? Depending on what you're dealing with, that can be crazy. But this is what I want you to remember. No matter what you're dealing with, it's temporary. It's very temporary. I need you to remember that. Take it to God in prayer. Get it over to God. Let God do whatever God chooses to do. Well, I've been praying for years, and the Lord hasn't done anything about it yet. That's not necessarily true. Maybe you just haven't acknowledged or noticed what the Lord has done. Maybe.
Or
accepted what the Lord has done. You know, a lot of times, good morning, Pastor. A lot of times we, you know, we're praying and we ask, I haven't heard anything from the Lord. Do you know when the Lord is silent? That's not a yellow light meaning go faster. Because a lot of people, when they see the yellow light, they don't slow down. They go faster. If the Lord is silent and you have not heard him, that does not mean go anyway. That means wait. And you just keep waiting until, I don't mean just sitting there doing this. You're actively waiting. You're still serving. You're still moving. You're still doing what the Lord has committed to do. You're still waiting on a response from what you ask him. Some things I've asked the Lord and he'll answer before I can get out of my mouth. Some things I've been waiting 20 years for. I'm still waiting. You follow? It just depends on, and sometimes the Lord will answer, and oh, well, that's not the answer I wanted. I need something else. And you send it back. So I was like, I've already sent an answer. And y'all follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Amen. So let me pray for those people. We have, and those of you that are constantly under attack, those of you that are constantly under attack, spiritual attack, some of you are in situations where it's physical attack, whether it's verbal. Do you know verbal abuse? Oh my goodness. Sometimes it's easier to take the licking. You'd rather have the lick. Because that verbal attack, that stuff stays with you for your life. You can't, because once it enters into your mind, you have no control when that leaves.
Amen.
You have no control when you think about that or not. And verbal abuse, oh my goodness. And some people that claim to be Christians are some of the worst verbal abusers I've ever met.
Yes.
Will cut you and think nothing of it. Just, and some of you are dealing with that. My prayer is that anyone that's listening to this is not a verbal abuser of any kind. You know, put down your children. You don't put down your spouse. You don't put down your life. You don't do that. If you got something to say, if you got something to say to them, go to them and talk it out with them. If you can't do that, take it to God. Lead it with God and move on.
Amen.
Because criticizing and verbal abusing people, that's not godly. I don't remember one time where Christ verbally abused anybody. He put them in check. And then once he said what he said, he kept it pushing. He kept it going. But to sit there, you old raggedy, you old no good, you this, I've never read that. And we're examples of Christ. How are you going to, who's going to believe that you are a follower of Christ when you treat people the way you do? Who's going to believe that? And what does that say about your testimony? And what does that say about your relationship? Because if you can do that in peace, I fail to see how you have a relationship with God. Because the Holy Spirit will convict you and tell you, and what are you doing? And why are you talking to them? And the Holy Spirit will not allow you to get away with that. Unless you have ignored the Holy Spirit, put your fingers in your ear, and whenever he tried to talk to you, you're like, I don't hear you, Holy Spirit, stop talking to me. Or here's a good one. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Well, I'm the one talking. I rebuke that. Because you know we're good for saying that. So, amen. The Lord's trying to tell you, don't talk to your husband like that. I say what I want to say. Okay. Don't call your child that. That's my child. I do what I want to do. All right. Don't steal pencils from your child. You shouldn't do that. They don't miss it. And besides, all the taxes they take out of my check, I don't bought this pencil. All right. Make it sound good. Whatever helps you sleep at night.
It wasn't intentional.
Open the drawer and it just rolling out. I didn't mean to steal all 50 of those, Lord. I only meant to take one. But you know, now you can open your own store. So, you know.
Brother Boyd recorded a video called Godly Order Evil.
Mm-hmm.
It addresses that.
Really?
Yeah. It's what's on our playlist.
Amen.
It's all.
Amen.
So Brother Lloyd recorded a SALT video titled The Godly Order for the Home. It was done a few months ago. So if anyone is struggling with the godly order of your home, how you get treated, how you respond to being treated poorly, how you are treating your spouse or your children. If the order of the home is just not right, there's a video on our playlist that will address that.
Yes.
And that will cause repentance in Jesus' name. So it's about 3 months ago. It's called The Godly Order for the Home.
And also we pray over deception. Because there's a lot of deception. A lot of deception. Even in churches. That are not following God's mandate. And just so much deception in the churches and people that claim to represent Christ. There's so much deception. So we want to pray for those that are being deceived. Because when it's all said and done, this is about your eternal salvation. This is about everybody spending eternity somewhere. Whether you believe in Christ or not. Whether you walked with Christ or you didn't. Whether you loved him or you hated him. Everybody's going to get an eternal body.
Yes.
Which body are you getting? Are you going to get the body that allows you to rejuvenate over and over as you burn in hell? Or are you going to get the resurrected body, where you can never die. You will always be with God forever. Which body are you working? Because you're working on a body. Which body are you working on? I'm talking to the church now. I already know where sinners are, what they're working on. I already know that. I'm talking to the church now. Which body are you working on? Because you are definitely working on one of them.
Yes.
Okay? It's your choice. You can blame it on somebody else all day long. But when you meet God, he's not going to ask you about your kids, your husband, your wife, your daughters, your uncles, your job. He's only going to talk to you about you.
That's it.
And no matter what excuse you come up with now, because the Bible says a liar will not tarry in his sight. You're not going to lie to God. You're not going to get to heaven with this story already out of the press that you can explain your way out of what your life was. When you get there, God's already going to know the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will speak, and that will be that.
Amen.
So no matter how good of a liar you are here, you will not be able to lie before God, because in eternity, there is only truth. Because God is in eternity. And God, there's only truth in eternity. Only. There's no lie. The only lying place is here. This is the only place where there's lies. There's no lie in eternity. There's only truth. Y'all understand? You need to decide which eternal body you're working on. Stop blaming other people for what you refuse to do. Stop looking for excuses not to do it. I can't because I'm this. I can't because I'm that. God knows the truth. I was telling somebody the other day, my wife and I, we laugh about this sometimes. There's your version, there's his version, and then there's the truth. It's what your wife says, it's what your husband says, and then there's the truth. Right? So you can fool yourself, because God will allow you to fool you. If that's what you want to do, blame it on whatever. God will allow you to fool you. Right? But there's only one truth. And God knows what that is. And you need to make sure that you're focusing on the truth.
Yes.
even if it's about you. Not even. Especially if it's about you. Amen.
All right, I want to pray and then I'm going to, because we still have like 10 minutes, right? 10, 15 minutes. I'm good. Where for real?
He's actually close.
Really? Oh, that came out. Excuse me.
You know what? Because he was ready early, but then I don't know what happened.
You realized he was running early.
As I was rolling it off my tongue, I realized, well,
he's
still not here.
Oh, okay. You said he was running early. He was rolling early.
He was rolling early.
And he realized he was rolling early. And he's like, okay, I shouldn't be talking about that. I would say I'm sorry, but I don't want that. Amen. Anyway, let's pray for those things that I just mentioned. Everybody touch somebody. Everybody's touching somebody. Everybody's touching somebody. Everybody's touching somebody. Come on, all y'all over there, cut. Come on up here. I can't believe Jillian over there kicking. It's up with that. Just kicking it like she at home. Well, she is, but I mean, man, y'all won't even let folks over here. She's trying to get in. Y'all won't even let her in. And so are you over here? And I'm over here. There's nothing to do. Oh, just kidding. Father, for all the first of all, thank you. Okay. First of all, Lord, thank you. Somebody in the room this morning needs prayer. And so I. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you for this opportunity. Y'all too, raise up.
Stand up.
Stand up. It's okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you for your worthiness and your righteousness. We give you praise and we magnify you because you are all that you say you are. Over and over again that you are the true and living God. There is none like you. We worship and we magnify you. We understand, Lord, that worshiping you is not just talking about you, but living our life the way you have commanded us to live. For letting our light so shine before men that they will know who you are. We realize, Lord, that worshiping is not just singing, that's praising. Dancing is not worship, it's praising, but worshiping is a lifestyle. It is a choice that we have chosen to be like you. We worship you with the way we speak to each other. We worship you with the way that we treat each other. We worship you in the way that we study your word. We worship you in the way that our prayer life is with you and our relationship. We worship you through our way of living. Father, we pray for all the people that we mentioned just before the prayer. We pray for our children. We pray for our pastors. We pray for the ministers. We pray for the missionaries. We pray for every believer in Christ Jesus. We pray for those that are discouraged, for those that are fighting the good fight, for those that feel like they are losing the battle, for those that refuse to stop fighting, for those that are on the front line, for those that are supporting those that are on the front line, for those that are standing up for you, and for those that have said yes to you and to no one else, to those that have decided for God I live and for God I die, for those that are determined to fight no matter what it costs, for those that are working on their eternal life. We're praying for those that are weak, let them say that they're strong. For those that don't know where the next meal is coming from, to say, Father, let there be guidance. For those that are dealing with health issues, say, Lord, let your will be done. For those that don't know if they're going to see tomorrow, well, none of us know, because tomorrow's not promised. Say, for God I live and for God I die. For those that want to stay in this life, for those who refuse to quit, for those who have said, Father, I will obey.
pray for you. We pray, Lord, that we will affect others that don't know, and those that don't know that they don't know. We're praying for every member, every person that hears this prayer, every person that attends these services, we pray. And we're praying for the body of the living God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Last thing. And then we're gonna call it, and then we're gonna pray for in-house. Can I read these, Pastor Neil Ridley?
Yes.
You sure?
Just the ones from Linda, right?
Just the ones from Linda.
Yes.
Okay. So from Linda F., this is what we couldn't get to last Sunday. A woman named Angela Dawn Flores and her teenage son murdered 3 of her other children on Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
She was found wandering in the neighbor's yard at night with candles and a Bible, yelling that her family was abused. Yelling that her family was abusing her and was taken away by the pandemics. No, paramedics, excuse me. Taken away by the paramedics. Who's a good reader?
Zoe,
come here. Nice and loud, starting right there from neighbor.
Neighbor's yard at night with candles and Bible, yelling that her family was abusing her and was taken away by paramedics. This happened in the West Hills, California. She admitted to the killings. Her son is being
psychologically? That doesn't look like that.
Okay. Evaluated, and they are both facing murder charges.
Amen. Wow. I don't know where to direct that prayer. Where do I direct that prayer? Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we pray for healing and deliverance for the family that was affected, as we pray repentance for those that actually caused this travesty, as we pray, Father, for no more murders, no more killing, we know, Father, that you are able. Somebody say able.
Able.
Father, we know that you are actually, Father, you are more than able. Father, enough is enough.
Yes.
Enough. Let your perfect will be done, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would avenge the blood of those that are innocent. We pray that those that are guilty, whoever they are, will repent of their sin and turn their life over to you. We pray, Lord, for all of them. We pray that your perfect will be done. We just pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please also pray for a young woman named Heather who was found laying on the sidewalk with a pillow covering her whole body. She was hungry and said she wasn't homeless, but she was in a Hollywood scene. Pray for her salvation and that she will come to her right mind.
Amen. Her name is Heather. She was there's a blanket covering her, and she says she's homeless. She says she's not homeless.
But she was on the street.
But she was on the street. Oh, really? So the woman thinks she's in a Hollywood movie, but she's laying on the street, and she says she's not homeless. So it doesn't sound like she's not in the right mind.
Right.
I don't know what spirits she's entertaining, what spirits have found their way inside of her. I don't know the situation or the circumstances, but we're going to be praying. What's her name again?
Heather.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Heather. We don't know if Heather is aware of where she is or what she's doing. We don't know what spirits have entered in and are trying to take over her mind. We don't know
what's moving and motivating her to be this way. But we know you know. You said you heard us before we called, and you answered while we were yet speaking. We know that you have the answer to Heather's needs. We know that you have the answer to her prayer. We pray, Lord, that something would, that your power will take hold of her circumstances and her atmosphere and cause her to change who she's serving while there's still time to change. We pray for healing and deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please pray for salvation.
That's somebody that's looking out for your eternal salvation. Even though you're not, they are. That's somebody you want in your life. Father God, did they give the name?
Candace.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we pray over Candace, we pray, Lord, that you would push Candace to the wall, that you would push her to the cross, that they would realize that they need you desperately. They need you while there's still time to receive you. They need you while it's still time to say yes. They need you while they're still on this side. They need you, Lord, now more than ever. They need you before the rapture happens. They need you before they lose their life. They need you while you are still listening to those that are in need. Father, push her to the cross. Whatever is necessary, whatever it takes to cause this person to turn from their wicked ways and receive you unto themselves, and to say yes to you. Whatever it takes. Help me say whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes, Lord. Help this to happen. Allow this to happen. Force them to the cross so that it can happen.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Please pray for salvation for Jacob, whose heart was softened to the gospel and was moved to him by God.
Amen.
Amen.
The word of God is so powerful. The word of God, every word of God means something. Every word of God is important. Every word of God has a place. And if you receive, the Bible says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Don't get defensive. Don't get angry. Don't turn away and run. Don't, some people hear the word of God and they're ready to fight. They hear the word of God and they get on the defensive. Oh, you judging now. You judging. Or they hear the word of God and they're like, I don't want to hear that. They're all kind of reacting to people that hear the word. The word of God is here to make life, to make alive, to help you to live, to help you to see. The word of God is here to bring you into eternal life. And if the word of God reaches out and it cuts you, it's trying to separate and divide you from sin. Amen. If the word of God reaches out and it cuts you, don't be angry. Thank God, because he's trying to separate you from sin. Amen?
Amen.
And if you are angry with God because of what he's trying to do, how are you ever going to be blessed by him? I'm just saying. We pray, Lord, for every person that desires to be closer to God. For every person that's desiring to say yes to God. For every person that's dealing with personal tragedy. For every person that's dealing with need, for every person that's dealing with weakness,
for every person that's dealing, struggling with sin. We're praying, Lord, if you truly desire to be what God desires you to be, God says you can do it. He said, ask, and it shall be given. He said, seek, and ye shall find. Knock on the door. Who's the door? Knock, and it shall, knock, and it shall. Ask and shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. In other words, if you approach Christ, he will receive you. Amen. It's not hard. You just have to be, you just have to have a made up mind. It's not hard. You just have to decide what you're going to do. It's not hard. You just have to make a choice. Don't wait for somebody else to make your choice. You make the choice. I'm coming to God now. I've decided I want to live for the Lord. Can we just raise our hands out while we close up? For those of you that have decided I need the Lord, I don't want to live in hell. I don't want to be separated from God. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be living in my sins anymore, or I need to go back to God. I'm not doing what I should, or I'm not doing what I could be doing. I'm not doing what I could, or I'm not doing what I should be doing. Thank you so much, Zoe. I appreciate it. Don't you go anywhere. If you know you need to give your life back to Christ, if you know you need to come to Christ, this is the day that the Lord has made, and you can rejoice in it if you give your life back to Christ. How many times does the Lord have to invite you before you say yes? How many times does the Lord have to convict you before you come back home to God? What else can he do that he has not already done? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Why are you excited about a rapture that you haven't been invited to? What's your holdup? What's your problem? What's making you wait? What's causing you to take so long to make a decision? What is it? Because whatever it is that's standing in your way, God can move it. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter who it is. If it's interfering between you and God, if you give it to God, I guarantee you God will fix it. Because the Bible says God is a jealous God. And if you want to be with him, and we already know he wants to be with you, and you tell God, Father, something's in the way, I can't get to you like I want to because something's in the way, God's like, I'll fix it. Father, somebody's in the way, and I can't serve you like I would because somebody's in the way. God's like, I'll fix that. God fix it, but you have to give him permission to do it. Because he's not going to break in and fix it. But he will come in and fix it. Everybody catch that? He's not going to break in, but he will come in if he's invited. Just repeat after me. Father God,
in the name of Jesus,
as we stand here,
with our arms stretched wide,
asking
for forgiveness.
Forgive me of any sin,
any unrighteousness,
anything that I've done
that does not please you,
that does not come from you,
that
goes against your word,
remove it
in the name of Jesus.
Cleanse my heart.
Cleanse my mind.
Cleanse my atmosphere.
Make me like you.
I don't want to be lost.
I don't want to be left behind.
I accept the invitation.
Use me.
That I will be yours.
My life.
Belongs to you.
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Son.
In the name of the Son.
In the name of the Holy Spirit.
In the name of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
If you said that and you meant it, you are now saved.
Amen.
If you said that and you meant it, you have been forgiven. If you said that and you meant that, you are now a member of the kingdom of heaven. If you said that and you meant it, you are now a child of a living God. You are one of the 153 fish that were brought in. You are part of the royal family.
Yes.
Whether you are coming back or your first time coming in, God welcomes you. And every person that says yes to God, the angels in heaven are doing what? They're rejoicing. They're rejoicing because we want another one. We kept Satan from getting another one. Amen. Thank you all for being with us. Prayerfully,
if nothing else happens, we'll be back on YouTube Wednesday for Bible study.
Yes,
who knows?
That part.
Who knows?
Yes.
Who knows? Amen. But God is able.
We are
streaming live on Rumble, I hope. Abigail, are we streaming live on Rumble?
It broke. Yeah.
Oh, stupid, stinking Rumble. Amen. We're rolling live on Facebook.
Yes.
We're rolling live on Instagram.
Yes.
And we're rolling live on Vimeo. Amen. And I'll post it on Rumble later on the day, I guess. Amen. God bless everyone.
Amen.
We give God praise, and I hope to see you next week.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. All right, saints, let's get some prayer going.
Amen.
How much time I have?
Amen.
Who said that?
Amen.
My little sister. Oh. Ooh, that sounded like her.
They are aware, but they're not. So one of the guys said,